What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ryan, thank you for taking the time to hop on.
Sure thing. Good to join you tonight.
No doubt about it. So I guess with the movement from earlier today, what is your thought process on the trade from a Buffalo Bills perspective? We know this isn't a surprise here.
Well, sports writers like to say they're never surprised because it feels like they're important and know a lot of stuff. I thought this was not going to happen this year because it had reached April 3rd and Stephon Diggs was still on the roster. A lot of teams had done their shopping, had done their trading, and including the Bills, and they had enough cap space to carry him for this year. I thought this was going to be his last season with the Bills, though. Okay, that said, the Bills, I think, got good value with the second-round pick, albeit 2025. As soon as they received the call, as soon as they showed interest in a call, teams knew that they were shopping Diggs or were okay moving them. That probably impacted the leverage a little bit.
Without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, if we read the tea leaves between Stephon Diggs' comments, his brother's comments, all the ass-kissing that the team has tried to do to placate him over the past season and a half, yeah, this has been a culmination. And so what happens next? You know, yes, he was a Pro Bowler. He was also a headache. Where does the production come from? Are we looking at the draft, or is this now lost because of some of the other losses?
Yeah, I think the draft is the first spot. They're in the 28th position of what lines up to be a very good receiver first round. I mean, they could stand pat, not trade up, and probably still get a good guy that can help them right away. But the other takeaway from the Diggs trade today, I'll give you two more actually. One is when the production doesn't meet the drama, it's time to move on. And he had one touchdown in his last 10 games, regular season and playoffs last year. His yards per catch dropped. His drop passes went up 11.1, then a lot of drop passes. So the other takeaway, if you're a Bills fan and a Bills watcher tonight, is this passing game now goes through Dalton Kincaid, the second-year tight end from Utah, who was their first-round pick last year. You started to see Joe Brady go that way late in the season. Josh Allen had complete trust in the rookie. And so I think you're going to see a lot of two tight end, two receiver, have the first round receiver join Khalil Shakir and Curtis Samuel and go by committee instead of 150 touches for Diggs.
Ryan O'Halloran is here with us from the Buffalo News. What is the overall temperature from the city? Are people happy that he's gone? Are folks worried about the production? What's the overall feeling from what you've seen and heard?
I think the consensus is the time had come, and thank you for your service. He put 4 years in here. They won four division titles. He had 100 catches each year. But there, I think the smart fans and the ones who read and listen and go online, they can see that this was a partnership that maybe had run its course, and you don't see people criticizing Brandon Bean. You don't see people criticizing Josh Allen, but you see a fan base that says, hey, $31 million of dead money is going to hurt you this year, but Stephon Diggs' money is off the books in 2025, so they should be in position to add talent that way.
I talked about some of the other players that have departed, whether it be the center, the defensive backs for the Buffalo Bills. And, yes, they've been banged up. You know, is there a concern that this team has kind of plateaued? I mean, everybody knows they're trying to still get over the Chiefs.
Yeah, and I think that's what made these moves necessary. They probably, with this group, you had knocked on the door enough times in the last 2 years when they were all in for a Super Bowl. They lost their home in the second round. They're supposed to have this great home field advantage, this great home weather advantage. And they lost to the Bengals. They lost to the Chiefs. And this time last year, they knew that March 2024 was going to be painful. They were going to have to reset their cap. They just hoped they were doing it after a Super Bowl berth. Okay, sort of, that would ease the pain a little bit. Well, that didn't happen. They still had to make these moves. They, instead of pushing money down the road with voided years and whatnot, they decided, hey, let's just do it this year. And as Brandon Bean said today, there's still going to have a 53-man roster for week one. They still intend on winning. As long as you have number 17 at quarterback, that window for the Super Bowl remains open.
Without a shadow of a doubt, Ryan O'Halloran is here with us on CBS Sports Radio from the Buffalo News. It's one thing to say that. It's nothing else for the general manager to say in that regard. When you realistically take a look at the roster and where they've been and where they're going, you know, we're literally going from MVP and Super Bowl talk to kind of a question mark. Hey, we still plan on competing. What's realistic for where they end up? Is it fighting for 10 wins in the AFC East? What are your thoughts on where they might max out? Let's just say they get a receiver in, a rookie who can grab, I don't know, 700, 800 yards and 5 to 8 touchdowns.
Yeah. I still think they're the favorite in the AFC East because Miami has had to also do some of their own decimation of their roster to get cap compliant. Patriots in a total rebuild. The Jets, can you really trust them until you see it? I would say no. But you know, with the Bills right now, minus Diggs, they still have all their other skill position talent coming back that they wanted to keep. They let Gabe Davis go to Jacksonville, but on defense, it's okay. Can Von Miller do anything remotely close as a pass rusher than he did pre-second ACL injury Thanksgiving of 22. That's going to be the key. They're going to be working in guys, corner, safety. So I think you have more questions on defense at this point with the Bills than you do on offense. But, you know, 10-7, AFC East title, I mean, the over-under, I think it's 10.5 right now. I'd say this is still a 10 or 11-win team.
Ryan, when you think about head coach McDermott, there were times throughout this past season where people have just kind of gone, okay, what are we doing? When are we going to get here? What is his current standing if things don't change or if they kind of are skating even past this season?
It'd have to be a real disaster for Terry Pegula, the owner, to move on from Sean McDermott. His new contract starts this year. He got that extension before the 23 season. And, things would have to really go south. And I think ownership was involved heavily in this, in some of these decisions, understanding that, hey, this is probably not a 13-win team in 2024, but they are setting themselves up to reboot, reset, however you want to call it, when the new stadium opens in 26 and then maybe before. So, you know, I think this is a transition type year to a new era of Josh Allen leading the entire franchise. But I still think they have some things that they can hang their hat on. But with McDermott, it's always that thing we probably talked about for decades in pro sports. Is he the guy to get you to the top, or is he the guy to get you just close enough then somebody else gets the opportunity? Well, he's going to get the opportunity to see if he can take this team to the top.
Ryan O'Halloran is here with us, covers the Buffalo Bills. You mentioned the new Highmark Stadium expected to open in 2026. We all know about the old Ralph Wilson and name changed a million times throughout the years. Tell us about the new stadium. I understand it has no roof. It's still going to be outdoor in the elements like people would want it. We hear the Chiefs got a whole beef and problem about where they play. How was this financed and put together for the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, and, you know, it's state and publicly funded. The Bills ownership is on the hook for around $700 million of it, of the $1.7 billion. It is going to be an open-air stadium, but there will be a canopy that covers maybe like 65% to 70% of the fans. And the construction of the building will actually help keep the wind out, which is a godsend for Bills fans. But you know, it's right across the street from the current stadium, big hole in the ground, a lot of steel going up. So once that starts coming along, you start looking forward to that and then 2026.
Wow. I mean, everybody now wants a roof. Everybody wants to attract different events and what have you. But the Buffalo Bills, it sounds like they just wanted to say, hey, this is ours and this is for football. No, Ryan?
Yeah, and what it frees up, I mean, they can still have major events during the summer and fall in terms of your non-football stuff. But let's face it, Buffalo wasn't going to get a Super Bowl even with a roof. They probably weren't going to get a Final Four with a roof. So they made that decision in terms of financially. But you mentioned Arrowhead. Everybody wants a roof. Everybody wants a new stadium. They sure as hell don't want to pay for it.
Yeah, we see that with the Kansas City Chiefs seeming real cheap. Hey, right now. Ryan, where can people follow you and all of your work with the Buffalo News.
Appreciate it. Buffalo News website, www.buffalonews. Simple as it gets. And at Twitter, Ryan O'Halloran, all one word. And we'll continue to have some more digs fall out here over the next couple of days.
And no doubt about it. Well, you're going to miss some content, man. You're going to miss out on the crybaby stuff now, Ryan. Come on.
Well, it's like every time he did talk, it was news. So we appreciated that. I mean, Stephon Diggs would have had a great season here in Buffalo. He's going to have a great season for Houston with C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. Ryan, we look forward to catching you on Down the Line. Thank you for taking the time.
All right, anytime now. Thank you.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.